Life Audio.
Welcome back, everyone, to Sparkle Speak. I'm your host, Catherine. Today we have on our very special guest, Brittany Whelan. She's a good friend of mine. She lives with her husband, Sam, in the Michigan area with her three kids. And I love the topic that we talk about today. We really talk about praying for our church leaders. I'm going to read to you the scripture that we talk about. The first one is in 1 Timothy 2. It says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. After a few words from our sponsors, I hope you enjoy hearing from Brittany.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Awesome. I'm also excited just to hear like what's been going on in your life through these questions too, because yeah. I feel like I don't know, like it's so hard to have the one-on-one catch-up times with people. So
yeah, I know. I was thinking, I'm like, is this going like too far back? Because I feel like what I'm talking about is like distant past and not very recent, but
that's okay. Whatever comes to your mind, you know? Yeah. So yeah. Awesome. Okay, cool. I'll get started with the questions then. All right. So, Brittany, when did you first start identifying yourself as a Christian, and how did you come to know God?
So I grew up going to church. I don't think I have a turning point because God was always a part of my life. My parents always had us going to church all the time, no matter what. So I'm so thankful that I have a quote unquote boring story in that respect. But I do remember somebody asking me to give a testimony in high school, and I got so nervous and just panicked because I said, I'd love to help, but I don't have a testimony, because I just thought that you had to overcome some huge obstacle in your life to like have a testimony. And I just felt so, you know, consistent. And at that time that felt boring and not like a huge blessing, for what I see it now. But yeah, I've, you know, preparing for this podcast, actually, I realized like the past 10 years, I've thought that my, like I solidified my relationship with Jesus in college, and looking back further than that, I realized like, no, like high school, I really was walking with the Lord. And so I think that's like been a blessing to just like open my eyes and kind of step back and look at that time again. But yeah, the first 3 years of high school, I just felt very solid. I had a great youth group, and, yeah, it was a great youth program. Even though it was so small, it was so influential for me and so many other students. And so, yeah, I mean, being a Christian in high school is tough. Like that was not the most fun path to choose, but yeah, the other students and I in the group like really supported each other and gave each other knowing glances in the hallway. And so, yeah, it's just been a blessing to look back and think like, no, I really was walking with the Lord at that time.
Yeah. So I know you touched on it a little bit, but like, was your high school a Christian high school, or was it like full of people who weren't necessarily the same faith?
No. Yeah. It was just a public high school, but I'm from a small town, so it wasn't huge. Maybe 130 I graduated with. But yeah, I mean, just being a Christian and having to make choices that align with your beliefs is tough.
Yeah. And especially in high school, like you said, when you're kind of just figuring out what that even looks like. Like, I feel like, you know, college is hard too. And then, but beyond that, you kind of get a little more established in who you are, right, and you feel more confident. Yeah. And so it is really hard at first when you're just kind of coming into your own and deciding like, okay, what does it actually mean to stand apart from other people? And can I really do that? So,
yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's difficult. So what would you say have been some experiences that you've had that have helped shape or change your view of God along the way? So like it could be a significant event or just a season of life that maybe has defined your faith for you.
Yes. I think that every big life change, you God opens your eyes to new things because you're experiencing new things and changing your heart and how you think because you're experiencing new things. But yeah, looking back, I think there are three particularly tough seasons that I've had in relationship to church that ultimately did have an impact on my walk with the Lord. That just reminds me all the time that while people are broken, God is not, and the church is made of people. And so it can be a tough place when your eyes are opened to hard things. But yeah, so the big C church, you know, just like not the church down the street or the church that you're part of, but the body of Christ, the global church is a safe haven. And it's not without suffering, and God always uses that. Like I said, there's broken people there. And so there's going to be hard things. But yeah, I talked about high school and how the first 3 years, like I really feel like I was walking with the Lord so solidly and just had that support. But my sophomore year of high school, my youth pastor was someone who we all loved. Like, yeah, I didn't talk about my church a lot, but yeah, it was a small church, but we were growing in youth group numbers because we were just learning so much and just, you know, gaining that traction. But he was arrested for having relationships with girls in our group, and it had been going on a while. So at the time, that was obviously devastating for me, for my friends, for the church, for the community, like small community. So got that travels quick, you know. So that was my sophomore year, but pushing through that and knowing that while the church is not perfect, that the Lord is. By senior year, I just felt that pressure and I was ready to not be so different. Yeah. And I remember thinking like, it'll be different in college. Like it'll be different in college. It'll be different in college. And I don't know why. I really just feel like I was given encouragement to like, just push through this. And, so yeah, senior year, I just kind of took a step back from my relationship with Jesus and said like, you know what, this is too hard right now. But college absolutely was a catalyst in deepening my faith. I immediately got involved with the college ministry. Someone started discipling me. That was just incredible. Opened my eyes to so much more scripture and really the Holy Spirit. I feel like I didn't understand how important him speaking to believers was. Like I just didn't recognize that importance and how sweet that is. When I was still in college, I started dating a pastor, and mirroring, you know, what I was saying earlier, just like kind of seeing the brokenness of the church, how a teacher, my youth pastor, who was so solid in teaching, he knew the word and he knew how to teach it, and we were growing, like what a blessing that was, and how I would not change that experience because of how much I grew. Yeah, just like mirroring that with dating a pastor, and you know, all the pastors' wives out there know this way more than I do, but like the curtain is really pulled back on how messy the church is and how broken people are in the church. I just look back at that and think like I'm so thankful to know that, because it helps me look at leaders in my life and know how important it is to pray for them and to be, just there for them, supporting them. And yeah, it's really important. And I've seen that in three different leadership areas in my life where there's been significant hurt, but it's been such a blessing. And I'm so thankful to have walked through those things. And I think that there are people out there who believe that it's important to get your life together before you have to come to Jesus or come to church or anything that is relating Jesus or the gospel. And it's just not true. Like, we're all so broken, and it's just a crazy mess of people trying to follow Jesus together. And yeah, I think it's just really important to know that you do not have to have any part of your life together to come to Jesus.
Yeah, I really love that too, that you even shared that in the midst of your high school youth pastor obviously doing something wrong. Like, there's no doubt about that. But at the same time, like, he was still teaching the word to you, and like, that still helped you to grow in your walk with Jesus. So it's like, God, in the midst of that pain and that sin and that brokenness, was still working, and he was still using the situation to further his kingdom and to bring people closer to him. And that's so God. Like, no one but God can do that with broken people and through our mess. And so your story is just a perfect example of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if I feel like a mess, like, God is probably more likely to be using me in that season than if I feel like I have it all together. Like, God does use broken people so much.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, obviously that youth pastor who did that, like, you know, all sin has consequences. Like, there are negative effects that come from our sin, but God will always he will always work for the good of those who love him. So like, I just think, like, even like encouragement for us as broken people, like, there's grace when we mess up and when we make mistakes, there's grace. But also in that, when we repent, and like, repent means actually like turning the opposite way from sin. So when we're able to say like, okay, we recognize that what we're doing is wrong, and we also recognize we can't change the past. What's done is done, and I've done this, but now I can turn the other way and trust that God's going to just bring beauty from this scenario and bring glory to himself through it. And I love that that is what we can say is true of the Christian walk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So thanks for sharing all of that. And do you have a favorite verse or something that you've been learning like lately that you could share with our listeners?
Yeah. You know, I'm still learning this, and I mentioned it briefly because it has been on my mind, but I just keep learning it in waves as we come into contact with new people and new leadership, is just praying for your leaders, praying for your pastor, your mentor, your spouse, your friends, just praying for their walk with the Lord and for their desire for him to really saturate them. Because yeah, the people that you're with the most are going to influence you. And so it's just, yeah, very important for to pray for a hedge of protection around them. It's one thing to know that the church is messy and full of broken people and just to like watch it happen. And another to be praying for those leaders. And praying for that hedge of protection around their life.
Wow. I really like that you brought that up, because you're right. It can be so easy to just recognize the brokenness and then sit in that and just be like, okay, yeah, we're broken. It is what it is. But I love your call to action of like, no, we can actually pray to change that, and not to make people perfect, but certainly to, like you said, protect them in their positions. And I think that is so important for church leaders, especially because the pressure that they're under is just so great. Right. I remember we had a pastor at my old church who had to step down. And I don't know the intimate details of that situation, but I just know that it's got to be a lot. It's got to be a lot for these people who've made it their life to shoulder the burdens of however large their congregation is. That's a lot. And not only to shoulder the burdens, but to teach and to be held accountable by that many people as well. And I just love your suggestion to pray, because that is, I think, a really cool way that we can partner not only with God, but with our community as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, your leaders and their families, and for protection, but also like messy things are going to happen and how they handle that. And yeah, just that they are going to the Lord for discernment and wisdom, and that they have wise counsel around them. There's just so many layers of prayer that we can be doing for them. That, I mean, I think is our responsibility too. You know, God gave us those people in our life, and that's the best way we can take care of them.
Yeah, I really love that. And you're right, because it's like, when we just attend church, and yeah, maybe we serve in some capacity or give financially or whatever to support the church. Like, there's ways that as just members we can do things, but I think prayer is the most powerful. Like God did say, there's scripture. Oh, I'm going to have to pull this up. Mm-hmm. I think I have it written down. Hold on. I'll read it. I think it's in 2 Corinthians. It's, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. But I love that, because the weapons we fight with aren't like actual weapons. They're just spiritual weapons of prayer and petitioning to God and asking him to change and to save. And those things are what demolish strongholds in people's lives.
Yes.
I even love that for my kids too. I've been just really, I don't know, holding fast to that, because my heart just breaks already for the sins that they're going to face. I mean, they're young still, but I mean, I just know it's coming and it breaks my heart already. And so I'm just like praying that for my kids, even that the weapons of, like, all I have to defend against that is prayer for them. Mm-hmm. And so that's all I can cling to.
2:1-4 says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity.
Wow. That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And I like that they're asking you to pray for kings. Like, we can pray for the people who, you know, are in government and like in power in that way. We can pray for our leaders, pray for, honestly, even our husbands. I need to hold, you know, that in my heart too, just like leading our family and everything.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, like, as a, and this is putting you on the spot, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but just as like a busy mom and just kind of having, you know, a lot going on, how do you pray? Like, what does your prayer life look like? Or how do you really make sure that you can do this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think about 1.5 years ago, I started meeting with a mentor, mostly for this reason, because I was like, I have fallen out of prayer being a rhythm. And like, please teach me how. And she was basically like, I cannot. Like, you either set aside time to do it, or you just like make it a part of your daily walk with the Lord. Like, it happens throughout the day, and I can't make you do that. And I was like, oh, okay. So this is a discipline issue. like, not surprising for me. So yeah, this past year has really, it's become more of just a discipline of in the moment times where I'm praying for, I mean, any, my children, myself, somebody we see, you know, that it happens in the moment and not later. Or if somebody comes to mind, that I'm acting on it now, because things in my mind are fleeting and like, they're not going to stick around. And so, yeah, I think just being more aware and in tune with the Holy Spirit. I think that was part of my problem too, was I fell out of just being aware of what the Holy Spirit was talking to me about. And so that led to a lack of prayer because I didn't have guidance. And so, yeah, it felt more forced.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I don't know about you, but like for me, I made the realization that I was doing a lot of, like, someone would come to mind and I'd be like, oh yeah, I need to pray for them later. Or like something would come up, someone would ask for prayer and I'd be like, oh yeah, I'll add that to my list. But then it's like, it never happened. Yeah. And so I felt really convicted because I was like, why am I not just stopping right that second and praying? Like, what is keeping me from that? And I kind of realized in myself, like, it felt exhausting, like, or it seemed exhausting. Like, I don't know what it was. Like, something in me was telling me it was exhausting to pray, even if it was just for a minute right then and there. And, I don't know. I've been fighting that real recently, just being like, and what I'm realizing is when I actually fight it and do it, I don't feel exhausted. I feel filled. I feel satisfied. I feel like that was what it's all about. And right. My soul feels full. And so I think it's just fighting that lie. It's probably honestly Satan telling me that, like, oh, you're going to just be emotionally exhausted if you talk to God right now. And
Right, go there, you know. What's more emotionally exhausting, talking to God or putting something else on your list? Like, that like doesn't add up, but I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like doing something else right now when I have seven other things that need immediate attention does seem like a lot, but it's the most filling thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I love that we're even just talking to each other about it because that's my reminder, like, okay, yep, keep doing it because it's the real stuff right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm a very all or nothing person. So I feel like I either need to make a plan and stick to it or just like wait until I feel like I can do that plan. And when it's just like talking to the Lord doesn't need a plan. You don't need a plan for walking with the Holy Spirit. So.
Right. Yeah, oh, I get that because sometimes if there's like this really big thing I need to pray for, I'm imagining I like wait till the kids go to bed. I'll light a candle, put on some worship music, go in a room by myself with a journal, pull out scripture and like pray over it.
Right.
And that's what I want. Like, because to me, that sounds like, that's the best way I can pray for someone. But then when I realize I don't have that capacity, first of all, right now, chances are I'm going to be too tired and it's not going to happen or something's going to come up. And so really the best I can give right now is to just stop in a moment. And even if it's 20 seconds asking God for something, like that's enough. He doesn't need any more than that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. Well, Brittany, thank you so much for sharing this. I always say this, but these questions just bring up such different topics. Each person that, answers them. And I love what you brought up because it's honestly something I really haven't thought about in a while, praying for our leaders and keeping them in our hearts and making that a priority in our life. So thank you. Thank you for talking about that and for bringing it to our attention. And I'm sure that people listening to this are going to really enjoy it too.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. And like I said, it comes in waves, we learn things and we kind of lose it for a little bit and it comes back. And so I think this is one of those things, but I hope it's encouraging to begin again.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Sparkle Speak. I want to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. And if you'd like more information on Sparkle, you can visit us at sparklefaith.com. That's all for now, and I hope your week is filled with the sparkle we all need.
It's a crazy world out there, moms and dads. I'm Catherine Seegers, host of Christian Parent Crazy World, the podcast that tackles tough topics to help you be a godly parent in an ungodly world. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.